Kick off hour number two of the program. This segment brought to you by NutriShop, 107 Moss Grove Boulevard, right there on Kingston Pike, down from Academy Sports. They've got you covered for all your product needs as you try and make your fitness and health goals. VFL Kyle Spicer and his helpful staff will take care of exactly what you're looking for at NutriShop. They've got the swap and buyback guarantee. They'll let you taste products before you buy. Check them out. NutriShop, 107 Moss Grove Boulevard in Knoxville, and also two mid-state locations in Franklin, Cool Springs, and Murfreesboro. It is NutriShop, and they've got you covered for whatever you need. They even have the in-body scan where they'll help you kind of set a baseline and make set your goals for success moving forward. The Jumbotron gate is apparently over, Houston. There was never a crane. The three pictures have been changed. T-Carp is already asking, can they not have the logos on it? Does it have to be corporatized? And the answer is yes, T-Carp, because it's Fall Network that apparently owns the back of the Jumbotron for some reason. I'm not even sure why that is, but you've got the three corporate sponsors up on the back of on the pictures themselves. And of course, you know, Neyland Stadium, the Power T in the middle, home of the Vols across the bottom, still there. And still not sure if they fixed all the lights. I know that was a big pain point for you, Davey. While they were up there, surely they replaced the light bulbs, right?
That was mine.
Was it yours?
That was my pain point.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was a pain for him. It's just every morning when I would drive across, you'd just always see, like, the upper corner of Butch's face not be lit up.
Which actually wasn't a bad thing.
No.
You know, when it was dark, we didn't have to deal with it. But, yeah, if they were up there, they should have fixed the lights. All the pictures look good. They did a nice job of kind of checkerboarding them a little bit also with orange jerseyed players on the outside with kind of a grayed out, whited out background, and then an orange background for the general who's in black and white. Really, really good look. Looks fantastic. Looks clean. And I'm just glad all that's now behind us, assuming the lights work. But I've seen a lot of conversation about, you know, taking Reggie White down seems like a bad idea. It seems kind of disrespectful, but I think the whole point now is that it's going to be more of a rotation. Especially now that we know that they don't need a crane, now that we know they can do this in a day, if they have if they have the pictures made, I think you're probably going to see a more common rotation when it comes to the images on the back of the Jumbotron. I don't know. I would imagine the general's picture should be up there all the time in the middle. And just rotate the images around. But the other two on either side of them, I'd imagine those are going to change from now on.
Yeah, that makes sense. They did a nice job with the backgrounds and the it has a cleaner look now, I feel like.
I agree too. No, yeah.
Instead of just being three kind of random pictures.
There's clearly a design element, you know, to it now. It's very clearly kind of a checkerboarded look. I know it's only three pictures, but it's very clearly white, orange, white. It looks... It makes sense now on the back of the Jumbotron. Everything about that makes sense. You've got a guy who was the defensive captain for the national championship team, the godfather of Tennessee football, and then another in-state player in Jason Witten who's had a fantastic NFL career and who, you know, if he comes back is easily the most decorated tight end in Tennessee's history. I know he already is, but I mean, it's amazing what he might have done with one more year had Jason Witten not gone pro. That said, he's gone pro and had a fantastic NFL career that's not quite over yet. So no issues whatsoever with the current selection on the back of the Jumbotron.
I was sent a tweet, Houston.
Yeah, I saw people talk about this yesterday.
Are you concerned?
Tennessee basketball tweeted out yesterday a couple pictures of the guys getting to the hotel. We were sent this tweet this morning by Vol Nation Recruiting on Twitter, Vol Recruiting 98. And Kyle Alexander is seen holding what appears to be food and a beverage in one hand, a GoPro in the other, and under his arm, tucked ever so neatly, is a walking boot. A lot of people have said, oh no, Kyle has a walking boot. Does this worry you? Are we nervous about this? My feelings are, if you have a walking boot and you're not wearing it, probably nothing to be too worried about. That said, why does he have a walking boot? I don't even remember him injuring himself at all. Obviously, if it was serious, I think he would have the boot on. But I don't know. It makes you wonder if maybe that's some of the reason he's kind of dipped off a little bit here in the last month or so. But I don't know when he got hurt. I don't know if he is hurt. He might have been carrying that for someone else. I really have no idea.
I almost asked that Monday. I almost said, do you think maybe, you know, Fulkerson played all those minutes, and we talked about how it, you know, like we were wondering if Kyle Alexander was punished for a turnover, for being a little sloppy with the basketball. Seemed like he was out way too long for that to be the case. Didn't make a whole lot of sense. And I almost said, is there any chance that he got injured? But I didn't want to say something that I had no, I mean, it would have just been a wild guess at why a guy who seemingly, like, his rotation, you know, wasn't per normal. You know, it would just been me throwing something out there. So I didn't want to even say that. But now, I mean, does that make more sense? If he came off just a little gimpy on that, because he saved that ball out of bounds. Maybe that's the play. Maybe we should go back and look and see as he came down, you know, when he saved the ball, because the camera angle is going to go quickly to Kentucky going the other way. I don't know. Maybe as he landed, he just kind of felt a twinge or something.
Yeah,
in the
but
ankle.
I guess the fact that he went back into the game is good.
Yeah. No, I don't. Both things could have occurred. He had to. He took an extra couple minutes out and during the Kentucky game, but also came back and is fine to go moving forward. I mean, I will say this. If you played basketball years and years ago, you might be thinking, God, walking boot, that's no good. These guys now, I can tell you, recently,
yeah,
the orthopedic, like, you know, the trainers you have, if there's anything going on with your foot or ankle, they'll just put you in a boot because it stabilizes everything so that there's no chance of you, you know, taking a funny step, just walking around doing your thing. So I don't think that, you know,
I would imagine they would. I mean, the whole point is that you don't re-injure it, and because you're not putting just regular walking pressure on your foot, you heal faster too. So it's a little bit of both. Like, you're not going to re-injure it, and it's going to heal faster. Again, though, the fact that he's not wearing it, I think that tells me, at least in his mind, he doesn't need it. I'm not saying he doesn't wear it some, but that tells me he does not need the walking boot, you know, to get around.
When I coached high school, which was a few years ago, we had a couple players that would wear the boot at times throughout the entire season.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they were just trying to manage a tiny, you know, ankle deal or foot deal, something like that. You know, stress fracture. Sometimes these guys get a little stress
fracture.
Someone
has tweeted in. We have information.
Yeah.
Will Luke tweets in and says he was in the boot on campus last week.
See?
So before the SEC tournament. So he's just got a...
precautionary.
Yeah, he's just got a little, you know, a little foot thing. And he tapes it up good and he wears the boot around so he doesn't step off a sidewalk and twixt it.
Mm-hmm.
They were good. He played fine. In fact, I'm still mad that he came out of the game for as long as he did.
Should have been back in there.
I mean, you know, I've moved on. We're on to the NCAA tournament. But we probably could have won if Kyle doesn't come out. Yeah, I'm not trying to hold on to it, though. I'm not, you know, I'm not sitting here saying, you know, we'd be SEC champs real if the rotation had been better. I'm not saying that. Not at all.
Real. That's a...
Yeah, like the tournament champs. I think a lot of people would view the tournament championship as more of a championship than the regular season. I don't know that I'd necessarily view it that way. It probably depend on which one I won that season. That's all I'm saying.
That's definitely the way you would view it, I'm sure.
Vols tweets in and says Schofield's been in a boot on campus all year.
See what I mean?
Well, he's He's been playing well lately.
it's gonna be like knee braces and offensive linemen. Like, yeah, in five years,
new thing.
Both like
athletes
basketball
are just
going to
have boots on campus all the time.
Both feet in boots.
They're
going to
be in little capsules just rolling around. They're not even allowed to walk.
Those big bubble
things. It's going to be a wheelchair hot tub that athletes just roll around in. That's all it's going to be. And then it's going to switch to ice back and forth to get the muscles right. They plug it in when they get to class.
Ice and stem.
It's going to be nice and quiet. Yeah, a little electricity through there. No problem. That we're so far ahead of the game at Tennessee, guys. We just already hey, here's your walking boot. Oh, no, I'm fine. I'm not even hurt. Right. And you're not going to be. Just wear the damn boot. Thank you.
There you go.
But I look like an idiot walking around. Yeah, but you're not hurt. Please put the boot on. Thank you. Are you left-footed or right-footed? I'm left-footed. Okay, here's your boot. See ya. Bye. Which leg is stronger? Right leg. Boom. Put a boot on that one, too. But I'm left-footed. Put two boots. Two boots. You're going to look like Woody running around here in Toy Story. Just put them on.
Maybe it's just to affect the other team. They're like, hey, I got word so-and-so's in a walking boot.
Oh,
that's all Kyle's holding is.
I saw Grant Williams in a walking boot. Wright State Police.
Kyle. It's like, hey, Kyle, hold that boot up so I can get in the picture.
Yep, and they got the flu. We're beat up. We're gonna really struggle. Wright State, they're gonna a cakewalk to the second round. Wink, wink.
More first four games tonight. Of course, Tennessee tomorrow.
Food poisoning has swept the team.
12:50, they'll tip it off against Wright State. Come out to Elkmont Exchange and watch it with us right there at 745 Broadway. When we come back, we'll get into some of the
runny noses. They all have runny noses. They can't play. They're dehydrated.
It's the official start of the NFL league calendar later this afternoon, and NFL free agency has gone nuts. The quarterbacks are all on the move. How it shook out, what the Titans have done. We'll get into the National Football League next, right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Welcome back into the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Home of the low price promise at Mountain View Chevy. They'll meet or beat any advertised price or just give you the car. And they're not in the business of giving away vehicles. They want to make your purchase the best value possible. And all you have to do is show them the lowest advertised price. They'll meet or beat it at Mountain View Chevy. Home of the low price promise. Your Silverado truck champions and the number one. They're the number one seed, the number one dealer in all of East Tennessee. They just continue to win each and every year. The number one dealer in all of the Tennessee Valley. In fact, it's Mountain View Chevy. You can shop their inventory at mtnviewchevy.com. That's mtnviewchevy.com. And if you're looking for something specific, you can also just give them a call and tell them you heard about them right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. You can get it all lined up. And even if you're in Knoxville, you make the drive to Chattanooga to save hundreds. I made the drive down there to buy one of our vehicles and save $500 making the trip down to Chattanooga. Think about it. You don't buy a new or even pre-owned vehicle very often. It's worth the trip to save hundreds, and Mountain View Chevy can make it happen for you. They're in downtown Chattanooga right off I-24. It's convenient to get to and online at mtnviewchevy.com. NFL, the league calendar. What time does it start? Like 4 o'clock today, Davey? Is that the official? Is that when the paperwork starts flying to kind of make all of this stuff official? But free agency kind of officially starting at midnight last night, and the quarterback kind of board has moved around completely. I guess the biggest one is Kirk Cousins to the Vikings on a fully guaranteed contract. What was the dollars and cents on that one, Davey?
3 years, $84
million. Man, that's a lot of money.
So as soon as he signs.
Good take, Nate. Yeah, good
in.
Job.
Yeah.
Locked in.
3 years, $84 million. If you remember the Redskins had paid him.
Is it all guaranteed?
Yes.
So he was able to get the 100% guaranteed contract.
Yep.
You look a little distraught. Schefter said $86 million. I mean,
maybe that's with incentives. I mean, I'm looking at SpotRack and
yeah. We're pushing $30 million a year here. Think about
guaranteed.
That. Guaranteed.
For Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
This is a bad move by the NFL. This is a bad move by the Vikings. I'm not mad at Kirk Cousins for getting his money. I would never blame an athlete for getting as much as they can. I just like this is the move? Kirk Cousins is the move? 86 guaranteed $1 million?
Mm-hmm. Over the cap has it at 86 total with 98% of it.
And what is Denver giving Keenum?
He is getting, it's 2 years, $36 million.
Yeah, he's at $18 million a year. 2 years, $36 million.
That is not fully guaranteed, right?
The details I don't believe.
I think
have been
half of it's guaranteed or something.
I have it as details not fully out yet.
I guess okay. Let's just play a hypothetical game here. Who's the best quarterback right now in the NFL in your opinion?
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, Nate. All other things equal, you're drafting quarterbacks right now.
Well, draft for one year.
One year. This year.
Yeah, I can agree with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Where is Kirk Cousins compared to Aaron Rodgers?
Okay, so Aaron Rodgers is 10.
Let's go starting. Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's not even do rank 1 through 32 because that's – so if Aaron Rodgers is a 10 out of 10 quarterback, Kirk Cousins is a
– 6.5.
Case Keenum is a?
5.5.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking too. So they're giving, this is the biggest guaranteed contract in the history of the NFL, correct?
To my knowledge, yes.
Yes.
As far as guaranteed, not biggest, but guaranteed, yes.
I mean, I don't understand it.
Has to be. All right, here are the
Vikings ditch Keenum, Denver scoops him up and pays him good money, and then listen. We've talked about this on the show. We did this when John was on the show. We've had this conversation. Kirk Cousins is a fine quarterback. This is a lot of money. And what you've done now is you've changed the quarterback market forever. If you're the Vikings, forever. It's forever changed. Aaron Rodgers, when he renegotiates soon, is going to say, "I want guaranteed. I want $100 million guaranteed." I mean, it's just going to keep going up, and that's going to trickle down to the. I mean, this is crazy.
Last year, the Vikings had three quarterbacks on their roster: Sam Bradford, Case Keenum, and Teddy Bridgewater. Of course, Bridgewater had been injured. Right now, it is looking as though Sam Bradford will be going to Arizona on a one-year, $20 million deal. Case Keenum, as we just mentioned, is going to be in Denver, and it is looking as though Teddy Bridgewater will end up with the Jets. So that's where those quarterbacks are going.
How did that work, though? Like the Vikings didn't get anything for any of those guys, correct?
They gave up a first-round pick to get Sam Bradford.
But I'm saying to get rid of them now, right? Like
they were all at the end of their contract.
That's what I'm saying. So they didn't acquire picks or dollars for losing those guys, and then this is what they're going to do. I mean, I guess they wanted to secure a quarterback. I get that. That's a lot of guaranteed money for Kirk Cousins, a guy who we really don't even know if he's going to get it done. You know what I mean? Like, if Aaron Rodgers were to be traded right now, or if Aaron Rodgers came open and free, like, you know what you're getting with Aaron Rodgers, right? You know what you're getting with a guy like Tom Brady, you know, so on and so forth. There are obviously other quarterbacks in this league. Like Russell Wilson, you think, yep, I got a pretty good idea of what I'm getting there. Do we really even know what you're getting with Kirk Cousins for $86 million guaranteed?
The money's too much, but I'm looking at the list of quarterbacks right now.
Well, that's the problem.
Maybe 6.5 is too low for Kirk Cousins because I can't.
No, 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 no.
I can't feel.
And you don't have to. You don't have to. There can just be a gap in quarterback talent, and that'd be okay.
Here are the quarterbacks.
Like just, what I'm saying is the second best quarterback in the league does not have to be a 9.5 to Aaron Rodgers' 10. If he's the fifth best quarterback, but it does take a huge drop, that's okay. He can be a 6.5 and not be as good as a lot of guys who have played in the league before him that didn't get nearly this damn money.
Here's the list of quarterbacks in order of salary right now. This is in order of average salary per year. Total value, not guaranteed, but total value of their contract, average per year. Kirk Cousins is now number one. Can you even guess number two?
Jimmy Garoppolo?
Jimmy Garoppolo, number two. San Francisco 49ers.
I quit. I'm done. I'm
not. Want to take a shot number three, Davey?
What are you doing, NFL? Gosh.
Matt Stafford?
Matt Stafford is number three.
I'm good at this. Okay.
Four? We'll go until you miss.
Matt Ryan?
No.
And we're done.
Derek Carr is number four.
Oh, that's right.
$25 million a year.
Oh, yeah.
Drew Brees is now five at 20, right at $25 million a year on the number. Carr has him by $5,000. And then you've got Andrew Luck, Joe Flacco, Aaron Rodgers. So you have to go that far down the board to get to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it really just depends on when they sign their contract. Really, all you have to do is, you know, figure out who signed last, and that's where it lands. It's crazy.
I just wonder how long we can continue to play this leapfrog game. Like, at some point, right, the NFL just hits their limit of this is the most money the NFL will ever make, right?
You would think so.
Just seems crazy to be giving away all this guarantee. I get it. I guess if you're Kirk, again, I'm not blaming Kirk Cousins. I'm blaming all of these teams who decided to do this for Kirk Cousins. Seems like you're just, I mean, he could, so he, guaranteed, now just, I want to clear this up. He could break his leg tomorrow walking to the complex.
Mm-hmm.
Surgery is complicated. It doesn't heal right. He never plays. He gets the $86 million, correct? Like, this is 100% guaranteed minus some clauses in the contract. Like,
yeah, it's 86 total, 84 guaranteed. So he'd get $84 million.
And he could go out in the opening game next year and throw 10 interceptions, $84 million guaranteed.
I guess there could be some, like, kind of, like, cause stuff, like we're dealing with coaches. But as long as he, like, tries to play quarterback, yeah, or tries to recover if he gets hurt, you know, as long as he shows up, goes through the rehab and the treatment if he blows out a knee or whatever it is.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's nuts. The guaranteed per year is crazier than the total number because, like Tom Brady is making $14 million a year guaranteed right now. Sam Bradford, because this is a new contract, $15 million a year guaranteed. Kirk Cousins, $28 million. Those other two I mentioned are second and third place in that category. He's making
wow.
He's making He's making $13 million more guaranteed than second place in the guaranteed column.
My God. this is a guy who his own team didn't want him or wasn't sure that they wanted him. Like, it's just, it's a lot.
It does seem a little greener pastures when,
doesn't
like,
it?
Like the Vikings are like, yeah, Case Keenum, you want us a lot of games, but you're not good enough for us.
Washington, and then Denver's Washington's like, yeah!
Washington's like, yeah, Cousins, you're pretty good. Here's kind of a slightly lowball offer. We hope you counter and maybe we'll get something done. He gets ticked off about it, and now Washington's soured on him. So it's almost like you take mine and I'll take yours.
It's like coaching, right? It's the bad coaches in the NFL getting passed around year after year after year after year. But nothing ever really – they never really win anything. They might get a little bit better situation here. I get it. The Vikings have a really good defense. They're hoping Kirk Cousins can come in, control the ball, not turn it over. But my goodness gracious.
I will say I'm higher on Kirk Cousins than most.
No, and that's fine. Are you 84 guaranteed million over 3 years high on him?
That seems like too much.
What's my alternative?
Case Keenum. Seems like you could maybe use some of that money and
I don't know,
keep Keenum or Bridgewater or Bradford and maybe get a couple more pieces around them.
It depends on how you, like, I mean, it's $10 million on the cap. So if you're playing Madden and the cap's, you know, whatever it is, $150 million, you know, is it worth $10 million having to save $10 million across the other 52 guys to have Kirk Cousins over Case Keenum? That's what Mike Zimmer and the front office of the Minnesota Vikings have said. Like, forget that it's a person for a second and that it seems nuts to just give that to one person. Like, that's the metric. Because once the guys are on the field...
Does that $10 million put you that further, like, talent-wise on your football team? Like, do we think Kirk Cousins against that Philadelphia defense last year is that much better than Keenum?
That I will say, Kirk Cousins can make throws that Case Keenum can't.
I agree with that.
But as someone who is much more of the Case Keenum in his athletic career than the Kirk Cousins and myself, to me, I'm like, well, does it really matter? Like,
yeah.
Like if Kirk Cousins could have completed the 30-yard, you know, or the if Kirk Cousins could have completed the 21-yard out route to the wide side of the field, does it matter that it takes Case Keenum two plays, two 10.5-yard, you know, 10-yard, 10.5-yard out routes? Like,
right.
Like, just stay on schedule. Does it matter? I don't know. And is it worth 10 more million? And that's 10 million a year. And like you said, if something happens, or if he's just not good, like, you're done.
I mean, I think we agree. He might not be great, but he'll at least be good, right? He'll at least be okay.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if you look at his stats in Washington, and if you think if you're and maybe the Vikings people know, maybe they know that Washington is a train wreck. Maybe they're projecting him to be even better than he was in Washington. And in times at Washington, I mean, he was statistically a top six quarterback in the league. I mean, like, think about that. I know it's Kirk Cousins. I know he's, you know, a goofy guy that screams at the camera or whatever, that, you know, can barely hit the box during his gender reveal for his, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
but
accuracy issues.
When you look at the metrics, I mean, he is significantly better than Case Keenum when you look at it that way. So if Minnesota, I mean, obviously they believe in him. And that's what Washington couldn't get past.
I get it. I guess if you're Minnesota, you're saying, all right, here's what we got out of this guy. If we think he's going to be better, I think I appreciate them making the effort to do what it takes to get better. If they firmly believe Kirk Cousins makes them better, good for them on spending that kind of money to go get him. I wonder how much better that is when it's all said and done.
It does seem really weird to pay Kirk Cousins more than Drew Brees with them both signing the contract now.
And, well,
it's
different with Drew. He took less money to try and stay with the Saints and win one. So it's a little like Drew apparently had offers of $60 million from other teams, decided to take $50 million from the Saints.
Mm.
So, like, Drew could have gotten more, and maybe he would have, but he wanted to try and stay with Peyton and stay in New Orleans and try to get one more with the Saints. By the way, has anyone ever impacted the game more than freaking Drew Brees? That guy, think about Drew Brees for 2 seconds. If he passes the physical, Saban never leaves Miami. If he isn't in the NFL, Peyton has another Super Bowl. He just, like, it's one thing after another. This guy just always impacts the league in such a big way. He's such a humble star. It's crazy. A lot of history tied to Drew Brees.
You know, the more I think about this Cousins thing, I think they overpaid, but if that's what it took to get him, like, if maybe they kind of bid against themselves, you know, like, it doesn't feel like you needed to spend quite that much money. But I do like the Vikings mentality. Ever since Mike Zimmer got there, they've been hey, we're just going for it. Like, and if I'm a head coach, that's what I'm pushing my front office to do. Because you don't get to take salary cap money with you as the coach once you get fired in the NFL.
That's true.
You know?
That's
like,
true.
You might as well just go for it.
Spend it, please. I buy that.
I mean, I don't want a front office, or because the front office guys get fired too. I don't want my leadership, whether it be the coach or the front office, to be people that are trying to, like, Butch Jones it and last as long as possible. Like, I don't want them playing for year 8. I'd rather them push all their chips in.
It's a really good point.
To win a title in year 4 or 5.
It's a really good point.
Than try and be just good enough so that they can make more money all over the long term.
You just sold me. I'm on. You're right. You're absolutely right. If you think he makes you one win better, like, go get that win and then hope it's more. I agree with you. Because, yeah, you're right. You could bring back Case Keenum, and you could make the playoffs, and you could maybe win a playoff game, and everyone says, oh, we'll get him next year. Or you can say, to hell with that. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. This guy makes us a game or two better. This guy makes us a play or two better. This guy, you know, with the defense and who we got coming back and who we have, he makes us this much better. He gives us a better chance to win a Super Bowl I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. You're right. I'm in.
I've always said either.
No, you're right. You're right.
Either pay through the nose for your guy.
Yep.
Or pay through the nose and draft your guy. Like,
yep.
And pick one and just go with it. And that's what, apparently that's what Zimmer did. I mean, having three quarterbacks last year was odd enough and, yep. And hard. I do think Kirk Cousins has infinitely more upside than Sam Bradford. And they're pretty darn good with Sam Bradford and Case Keenum.
No, yeah.
And Teddy Bridgewater.
That's fair.
Really.
You sold me. Good job. You did it.
Those numbers still look crazy. $84 million guaranteed. Matt Stafford had $60 million. I'm talking total numbers now, obviously not per year. Matt Stafford, $60 million guaranteed. That's second. So he got 24 more guaranteed dollars and over a shorter term contract as well. So incredible numbers for Kirk Cousins. Jimmy Garoppolo, only 48 guaranteed. I don't remember the years on his. So it looks like that's a 5-year deal for Garoppolo, and he's getting like half the guaranteed money of Kirk Cousins. Of course, the value of his contract is almost as much. I mean, it sounds like Cousins said, "Make me the highest paid quarterback and guarantee the whole contract," and that's what the Vikings did, paying him over $1 million more than Garoppolo got, whole thing guaranteed. Kind of Nick Saban mode, $1 more.
We'll take it.
We'll come back. On the flip side, hit on some of the other moves in NFL free agency at other positions and also take a look at the Tennessee Titans. What did they do as free agency got going late last night, of course, with all the leaks coming last couple days, and it should still all the fallout kind of continue to roll through this week. Stick with us right here on Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. Final segment, hour number two of the program is 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville. And don't forget, we'll be out at Elkmont Exchange tomorrow. Talk Sports will start broadcasting there at 10. They open at 11. You can come out, and we definitely want to see you there at 12:50 to watch Tennessee take on Wright State in the NCAA tournament. I can't believe how much happier I've been this March than I was last March doing, Sports Talk Radio in Knoxville, Tennessee. It's refreshing. Well, Tennessee is a 3 seed. You can come out tomorrow and enjoy lunch at Elkmont Exchange and then watch the Vols play. And they've got beer on tap, 24 selections for you that they brew in-house at Elkmont Exchange. It's 745 Broadway, so make plans to attend. If you can't make it out there tomorrow, Talk Sports will be back again on Friday. And, hopefully at that point you'll be watching other teams in the tournament and kind of projecting ahead to Tennessee's future opponents there. We're talking NFL free agency, though. It's going hot and heavy now. The Titans have snagged Deion Lewis on a 4-year contract. We talked about the running back position for Tennessee and how DeMarco Murray on his way out. Obviously, that leaves kind of – I mean, it creates a Derrick Henry as your lead horse situation, and you needed kind of the third down pass catching type of guy, and Deion Lewis obviously kind of the perfect fit for that role. I like this signing. It makes a whole lot of sense. It's a 4-year contract for Lewis, who of course comes over from the Patriots, and that's kind of been a theme for Tennessee. Davey, Deion Lewis, you like the fit?
I like the fit. I think they probably could have got him at a little bit cheaper of a deal, but either way, I know that they definitely need somebody to kind of be a change of pace back, and he does create a lot of matchup issues with opposing team defenses. So I think it'll work out well. I am interested to see how they want to utilize him. I know you got Matt LaFleur coming in as the offensive coordinator, so just seeing what he's going to be able to do with just really all the offensive weapons that they have. I expect them to still take a running back at some point in the draft this year. When that'll be, not really sure. I'm expecting it to probably be somewhere in the later rounds, though. But there were a couple of mock drafts that had them going running back early. I think after this signing, you're not necessarily going to see that. You're going to see them really try to shore up the offensive line and go for some more of a pass rushing, prototypical 3-4 ends. That's my idea of what I expect them to do. But they also went ahead and went out and grabbed another expatriate in Malcolm Butler to play cornerback. So I now expect them to
The Tennessee Patriots jokes were all over the place yesterday.
Because now both your starting quarterbacks will have been on the Patriots when they won their last Super Bowl. So
this is second year in a row the Titans have signed a former Patriot cornerback, Logan Ryan, and now Malcolm Butler. We were talking before the show. Davey, you were saying this will obviously they'll move Jackson inside some, and hopefully it can shore up the cornerback position where it depended on the game last year, but at times they kind of got picked on at certain positions, especially with some bigger number one receivers
for sure. And Dory Jackson, I thought all in all for a rookie year, he had a very good season. Really was tested early on, and based off his set, I guess really more of just his size, he's somebody that I would rather see in the nickel, really having to guard the slot receiver more often. So I expect them to move him inside. That might not necessarily be the case, but with Butler and Ryan being your guys on the end, I think that'll really help kind of shore up that secondary. Because, you saw Kevin Byard at safety have a really good Pro Bowl mm-hmm. season. The Titans might have mentioned this a while back, but they did release Denora Searcy, so I expect at some point for them to go and try to find another safety to kind of help out there. But compared to a couple of years ago, this secondary is looking so much better.
Roto World makes a good point about Deion Lewis, too, in the backfield. And I know we're kind of flipping back to offense, but with the Patriots, he even showed pretty good ability between the tackles last season, and it can be kind of the perfect fit for the Titans because he kind of fills two roles with one. The pass down, third down type of back, he can obviously catch the ball in the backfield really well, but then he can also come in and be, a guy on first and second down, once every fourth series as you rotate your early down running backs. And now, we need to just see Marcus Mariota continue to get better and see if this offense can improve. They did lose inside linebacker Avery Williamson. He was a free agent that Tennessee was trying to sign off of their defense, inside linebacker in that 3-4, a really athletic, kind of run-and-chase type of guy. He's headed to the Jets.
Yeah, the Titans initially offered him. He turned it down, and last night he posted a GIF of it was like a old Dave Chappelle clip of Chappelle just kind of like holding all this money. So I don't think they've released the details yet, but it looks like he's getting paid. Last year he finished second on the team in tackles. So,
this is a big loss.
It is, yeah.
He graded out as the number three inside linebacker on Pro Football Focus, only behind Luke Kuechly and Bobby Wagner.
So
for the entire league.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
He's also 26 years old.
Yeah, the Titans
also good.
Titans drafted him out of
little guy.
So Western Kentucky? Kentucky or Western Kentucky?
I thought Kentucky.
But, yeah, that might be it. But he's been a good player ever since he's been a rookie. They've expected him to play big minutes, and he's done a lot of key snaps, and he's done that. So I wish him well. I always thought he did a really good job here. I don't blame him for going out and getting paid.
He was a fifth round pick in 2014 out of Kentucky, 6'1", 246. That could be a big loss for the Titans. Run defense was pretty good last year, right?
Yeah, I think they were fourth overall in the league.
So that'll be a place they'll have to kind of shore that up. I guess one of the biggest guys out there at the moment, which kind of came as a surprise to me, is the Packers released wide receiver Jordy Nelson, and apparently he's going to be hosted by the Raiders today.
Go play for John Gruden.
I don't know what that voice was, but
no, I don't think anyone does.
Well, it wasn't good. Oh, well.
No, not your best. Not your best stuff.
Yeah, well.
I wonder if we're seeing kind of a changing of the guard in the NFC. Like it seems like the Packers are kind of just Aaron Rodgers these days. The Seahawks have definitely faded. They've lost their mm-hmm. some of their studs on defense, and the certain divisions have kind of completely changed. The Giants and the Cowboys used to kind of battle it out in the NFC East, and now the Eagles, obviously your Super Bowl champions, and they expect to come back strong. Have we heard any Nick Foles updates out of Philly? Is there any scuttle on what they're going to do at quarterback? Are they just hanging on to those guys?
It's Carson Wentz's job from everything I've heard. There have been several offers to the Eagles for Nick Foles, but I think unless they get something really over the top, they plan on just keeping him as a backup. Because, I mean, your backup quarterback, I mean, it's pretty invaluable whenever you really try to boil it down.
I mean, I guess if he's happy doing that, but, I mean, I don't know. It was an ACL for Wentz. It is one that could reoccur, I guess. A lot of times,
and it happened late.
Yeah, we talk about the ACL not being the same for 2 years.
And he uses his legs a lot the way he plays mm-hmm. quarterback. Like he moves around in the pocket, he takes off and gets wide from time to time. Recently Tennessee added Keller Chris. One of the reasons it kind of didn't work for him at Stanford was because he rushed back from an ACL injury. If you're the Eagles, you're thinking, yeah, we're going to get Wentz back. Wow, we've got two really good guys. But the reality is you might not have Wentz back at 100% to start the season. You might not have him back at 100% until next season. Not this season, next season. So I think for a year at least, if you're Philly, it's wise to hang on to Wentz to hang on to Foles with Wentz, because everybody responds different. Based on everything I've heard about Wentz, he seems like a guy who's going to do everything he can to get back, do it the right way, not going to skip on rehab or anything like that. Like, you don't have to worry about him. That said, you just don't know. Everybody's body responds differently. Not everyone can be Adrian Peterson and tear his ACL and then be running for, 1,500 yards the next season. We've seen multiple players and even quarterbacks who tear their ACL and it just takes them a little bit. And again, especially because of the way he plays the position, I think he's the guy you don't want to put out there until you're 100%. And also, you just wonder, I would imagine from now on, he'll probably wear a brace on that leg moving forward. How much does that impact him? Is he going to be comfortable? I think if you're the Eagles, you have to keep the guy that won the Super Bowl for you and then just kind of monitor Wentz and see what happens. My guess right now is that Nick Foles is your starting quarterback for Philly in this coming season. Maybe that's not a big limb to be out there standing on. I just don't see a way or a reason to rush Wentz back right now. I know he's going to want to play. Again, I know he's going to want to do everything the right way. But until you are 150% sure that Wentz is going to go out there and be Wentz, I think you just roll with Foles. He did really, really well down the stretch in some really big games. I think I'd ride with Nick Foles next year if I'm Philly.
We mentioned, talking about the passing game, we mentioned that the Packers lost Jordy Nelson. It'll be interesting to see where he lands. They did add, though, tight end Jimmy Graham. So that could be a big difference maker for Aaron Rodgers in the pass game. And you lose one of your receivers. I guess Green Bay thinks that, they've got some receivers that can kind of carry the load that Jordy Nelson leaves behind. They add Jimmy Graham. They also added Muhammad Wilkerson, who's a really good player on the defensive front and should fit their scheme pretty well. Also, the Bears, they'll be rolling with Mitchell Trubisky next season. And then another quarterback note, Sam Bradford to Arizona. Mike Glennon looks like he's going to Arizona to back up Sam Bradford. So that's what they've done at the quarterback position, bringing in those two guys. In Chicago, Allen Robinson, the wide receiver, he'll be the Bears' new number one receiver there. They also added Trey Burton to play tight end in that offense, and they added Taylor Gabriel, kind of a tiny little dynamic slot guy that can really, really run. So that's kind of what's been happening in the NFC with those offenses. We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number three of the program, get into some different topics, and, of course, cycle back around to some college basketball in the final hour of the program. It's 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville.